Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. If you've been watching the Major League Baseball postseason, it's obvious the game is changing. Strikeouts are way up, pitchers are throwing gas, defenses are setting up in strange alignments, and relievers are starting games from the stretch. In the post-Moneyball era, most clubs are embracing analytics to maximize their chances of success, which is why you're more likely to see a three-run homer than a sacrifice bunt or a stolen base. Not for the first time, and certainly not for the last, traditionalists are wringing their hands. My guest Rob Nyer is one of baseball's most incisive chroniclers. A veteran of ESPN, Fox Sports, and SB Nation, he's the author of a new book, Powerball: Anatomy of a Modern Baseball Game. It uses one 2017 matchup between the Astros and A's to explore the future of a sport in transition. Rob Nyer, welcome to the Roundtable.
First, thanks for having me. And second, I appreciate your summary of the themes in my book is far better than anything I've ever done.
So, thanks. What are you making of the playoffs so far as we speak?
Well, it's a bit like the playoffs were a year ago, or the beginning of this regular season was. It was sort of everything that happened in 2017, but turbocharged. All of these things we saw, almost all of the things we've seen this fall, we saw in 2017, we saw in the game that I write about, with the big exception being the wildly unorthodox use of relief pitchers that we've seen in the postseason, which we saw during the regular season to some degree, but now we're seeing it sort of writ large.
I suppose one of the takeaways of your writing is that while it might look weird for people who maybe aren't following baseball day in and day out, a lot of this stuff either works or is perceived to work by front offices. Does that explain the popularity of some of these non-traditional approaches?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it does work. Not to suggest that it works every time or that all the ramifications have been thought out. Some things are going to come up. Situations will arise that you can't plan for. But the basic notion, for example, that starting pitchers become pretty ineffective after they have face the order, the batting lineup, a couple of times. That's been around for a long time, at least a decade. It's just, it wasn't until this year that a few teams anyway began to really embrace that statistical truth and figure out a way around it.
So what are some of the changes that have taken hold in the game?
Well, the two most obvious, I think, are that pitchers throw much harder than ever before. Yeah, if you look at the trend line, if you look at a graph of pitchers, the speed on their fastballs, for example, of course it's been rising ever since the beginning of baseball history, no question. But that trend has accelerated in recent years with far, far more pitchers throwing 95 plus, for example, than they did even 5 or 10 years ago. So that's one thing, and on the other side of the equation, hitters are optimizing their swings for power more than they've ever done before. In large part, because now they can actually quantify their swing very easily. For a long time there was nothing, and then there was video, and players used that, but now they can precisely track the path of every swing they take. And I write about this in the book a little bit. Launch angle is something that everybody looks at now. And there are optimal launch angles. Now, they differ for different hitters, but the point is that once you're able to put a number on it and at least attempt to dial in that number to what is considered optimal, a lot more players are going to do it. And in fact, they have been doing it.
Okay, so we've got the front office who's paying attention now to these analytics more and more, and we've got players who are trying to make themselves marketable and valuable. You know, they want to have home run numbers, even little guys, as you make the point in your book, like Altuve on the Astros, who's maybe my height and still bashing 25 home runs. But one of the points that you focus on is that that doesn't make the game all that watchable for the fan.
Well, I'm careful, at least I try to be careful, to avoid projecting my preferences on this sort of amorphous fan base, whatever that means. I can't argue with a straight face that I know what baseball fans want. I do believe that what has made the game popular over all these years, at least to some degree, is the variety of things you can see at a ball game. You know, it's often said it's a canard that if you go to a baseball game and you pay close enough attention, every single time you can see something that you've never seen before. And I think that's basically true and probably still is true. But the fact is most people don't pay that close attention. Never have, never will. To me, the great thing about baseball, as long as I've been a fan anyway, I started following the game closely in the mid to late 1970s, was that you could go to a ballpark, a ball game, and you could see so many things. You could see a home run, of course. Most games you would see a home run. You could also see a stolen base. Most games you would see a stolen base, or two or three. You could see a triple. You could see a base runner make a daring dash from first to third base, maybe beating the throw, maybe not beating it. And the list sort of, a great play at shortstop. The list goes on and on. Well, that list is still there. You're just not as likely to see all of those things when you go to a game, for the simple reason that so many more plate appearances end in a strikeout or a home run, especially a strikeout. This year, for the first time in Major League history, there were more strikeouts than hits. And I'm just not convinced that in the long term, especially if this trend continues, and I don't see why it wouldn't, that is healthy for the game, for the enterprise. I don't believe that if you were designing a spectator sport from the ground up, that's how you would start.
I guess also, I mean, if your team's winning that way, no big deal. You deal with the strikeouts because there's so much payoff at the end. But if your team is striking out all the time and having a season like the Orioles just did, that doesn't, you know, bode well for spending 3.5 hours at the ballpark.
Well, that's certainly true. And not to mention the high price of tickets. Now, of course, they're much cheaper than tickets to an NFL game or an NBA game, but still, it adds up. And one thing we've seen is that even when teams aren't really trying to win, and there are a lot of teams like that nowadays, they don't typically drop their ticket prices. They might even raise them a little bit. And I think that's the biggest reason for the 4% drop in MLB attendance this season. Most of the drop was, the great majority was with the teams that just weren't competing, but still were charging the usual ticket prices. So I'm not convinced that fans are sick and tired of home runs and strikeouts. I don't think any poll would suggest that. But I do think that you could reach a point where fans just weren't all that interested in the game. And by the way, it isn't just the home runs and the strikeouts that make the game, in my opinion, a bit less exciting than it could be. The game's also slowed down a great deal. With so much time between pitches, I think I saw something last week that there's an average now of 4 minutes between batted balls in play. Well, that's a long time. And certainly longer than we've ever seen before. And the players will tell you there's nothing wrong with the game. People still want to watch. All those things are true. You know, it's still a very healthy enterprise with increasing revenues every year. But it's not difficult to imagine that there is a limit to what fans will tolerate.
Well, I could ask you to put your commissioner hat on, but you actually are a commissioner of the West Coast League for collegiate summer baseball. Do you have changes in mind, you know, minor adjustments that could be made to the game, either, you know, in the minors or in the collegiate level or even in the big leagues that you think could address some of these shortcomings?
Well, first of all, so far, most of the issues are in the majors. The minor leagues and collegiate leagues, they tend to move at a quicker pace. They haven't seen yet this home run strikeout dichotomy, at least not to the same extremes. But it is true that the other leagues are mimicking the major leagues, basically. Players are learning how to, are training to throw harder at every level, down to down to kids. And there are now the technology that allows you to, say, measure pitch speeds or measure launch angles or exit velocities, all these things they're already in. Not only all the major league parks, but basically every single minor league park and many collegiate ballparks now, too. So all those things are coming if they're not already here. As for what I would do, there's no magic bullet. There just isn't. You would have to, if you take something away from the pitchers, for example, you have to take something away from the hitters, too. I would probably deaden the ball a little bit. That sort of thing has been done many times over the course of baseball history. I would probably lower the mound by 2 or 3 inches. That has also been done, most notably in 1969, when offense was way down in 68. So I wouldn't propose anything radical. I don't have that sort of imagination. I would just propose that basically that baseball do what it's always done, and that is construct the rules, construct the game, to appeal to as many fans as possible. But that has been lost over the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years.
I want to get your take on a couple of other adjustments that have occurred to me this postseason. One would be some sort of electronic umpiring. Angel Hernandez had a famously awful game earlier in the playoffs and had, I think, 3 or 4 calls overturned by replay. And then recently in the ALCS, we saw Joe West, who's in his mid to late 60s, umpiring down the line and having to make a controversial fan interference call. And it seems to me if they're going to go to the replay eventually anyway, at a certain point, there has to be a way of automating this stuff.
Absolutely. There certainly is. You know, the Joe West call the other night on the ball in the stand, that was a tough call. It would be difficult to build for a reasonable price any system that would be able to nail that. You're always going to have some uncertainty. I do believe that an automated strike zone is inevitable. The technology exists, or if it doesn't exist now off the shelf, it could be built, and people would get used to it. Yes, the traditionalists would not a favorite term of mine, by the way, but the traditionalists would squawk, but they would get over it, just like they get over everything else. It's coming. It's just difficult to say whether it's coming in 2 years or 5 years or 10. But it certainly, the umpires are tremendous. They're the best umpires in the world, but their job is exceptionally difficult, especially calling balls and strikes. As hard and as well as the pitchers throw now, it's almost an impossible job. So it seems to me clear that there will be a better way at some point. Just not clear when.
And what do you think about seeding the playoffs? And the reason I ask is this year there were 3 100-win teams. They all knocked each other out before the World Series. So there was one of them playing in a one-game playoff and then 2 of them meeting in the first round of the playoffs and then the other 2 meeting before the championship round. Is there any way around that, or is that just kind of a quirk?
Well, no, you could do it. You could certainly seed the playoffs. I wouldn't, and the reason I wouldn't is because one way that they justified adding the second wild card team was that it incentivizes winning your division, and I think that's valuable. I think one of the best things, maybe the best thing that baseball has ever offered is an exciting race for first place between 2 great teams. And we could have had that with the Yankees and Red Sox this season. We didn't really, because the Yankees finished fairly pretty far behind the Red Sox. But I like the incentive of a division title. And if you win 100 and some games and you're still a wild card team, well, tough. Win the division.
So, looking forward, I mean, part of, your book kind of ends on this note, which is that, you know, sports writers covering the game are always going to raise the problems with it and the controversy and so on. Are you optimistic about the future of the sport, and especially in terms of how it compares to other sports interest in America today?
Well, I'm glad you added that qualifier, because, yes, I am optimistic about baseball relative to the other sports, because baseball has a lot of things going for it. And as many issues as baseball might have, nearly all the other sports have the same issues or other worse issues. You know, football most notably with the concussion issues and the precipitous decline in kids playing tackle football. So I think baseball's long-term future, it's certainly positive. I don't see... There's no chance of Major League Baseball dying anytime soon. And I don't see revenues going down. Even as attendance goes down, revenues go up. I do believe that for the game to be as healthy as it can be, not healthy, but healthier than that, the owners and the players at some point will have to come together and decide and realize or agree that ultimately the sport is played for the enjoyment of the fans and not for the convenience of the players, which is sort of where we're at now. If they ever do that, it'll probably be because someone comes to them and says, if you don't do this, you're going to start losing money. The next TV contract won't be what the last one was. But until the owners and especially the players are threatened with some sort of financial incentive, I don't think they're going to change what they're doing, because everything is working out great for them right now. They're all being paid more and more every year, or almost all of them, and they get to play ball for a living, which is pretty nice.
We've been speaking with Rob Nyer. He's the author of Powerball, Anatomy of a Modern Baseball Game. Rob, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. Enjoy the rest of the season, and we'll see you on Twitter.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks, Ian. Take care.